what we're seeing in the sufferings in Ukraine, in the terrorist attacks that are going on in the Middle East, are all signs that we're living in the end times. The Lord Jesus said in his Olivet prophecy, there will be anguish in the earth among nations, bewildered by the roaring sea and waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, because the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is near. And in the Matthew record, as against the Luke record, you are going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, Jesus said. See that you are not alarmed, because these things must take place, but the end is not yet. So, I'd like to look at a number of things that from the scriptures, that things that we can expect to happen. And I want to look again at Daniel's 70 weeks prophecy to start that off. You remember that Daniel became, at a young age, a teenager we think, a deportee from Jerusalem, and was sent in the first wave of those three sieges by Nebuchadnezzar, and he was sent to Babylon. And he became aware early on of Jeremiah's prophecy, 70 years prophecy, when he warned people that it would go on for that period, and they should settle down in Babylon where they'd been sent. And we know how Daniel himself, even as a teenager, became too icy to Nebuchadnezzar himself. A reward, no doubt, for the faithfulness that he exhibited throughout his life in Babylon, and his faithfulness to God. And how several times during his lifetime in Babylon, he was called on to interpret dreams. There was the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, which established him to his high position in the land. And then right at the end of that 70 years that Jeremiah prophesied, at Belshazzar's great feast, there was the writing by the hand that appeared on the palace wall. And we know how later that night, Babylon itself as a city fell. There was the diverting of the great river Euphrates, the literal drying up of the river, which enabled the forces of Darius to invade the city and conquer it. And then later that very year, as Daniel is praying, aware that Jeremiah's prophecy must be about to be fulfilled, in the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the books, according to the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet, that the number of years for the desolation of Jerusalem would be 70. And they were nearly up. So I turned my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and petitions with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Daniel, realizing this situation, gave himself utterly into prayer. Ah, Lord God, the great and awe-inspiring God who keeps his gracious covenant with those who love him and keep his commandments. We have sinned. We have done wrong, acted wickedly, rebelled, turned from your commandments and ordinances. We haven't listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. And so, having fasted and chastened himself in his prayer, what happened? Daniel 9 verse 20 says, while I was speaking, praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, while I was praying, Gabriel, the man I'd seen in the first vision, that's chapter 8, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. And he said, I've come now to give you understanding. At the beginning of your petitions, an answer went out, and I've come to give it. For you are treasured by God. And he went on, of course, to give him the 70 weeks, or the, as it is, Shavuim, the 77s prophecy. Daniel 9:24 says, 77s are decreed upon your people and your holy city. Where he'd been estranged from for almost his entire life. To do six things, to bring the transgression to an end. To seal up sins, to atone for injustice, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint a most holy one. We notice in that prophecy that these 77s are decreed upon your people. The Jewish people, the literal descendants of Abraham, and your holy city, Jerusalem. It doesn't include the Gentiles. They're not in this. And the fact that all of those six declarations have yet to be completed, they've not been fulfilled in the 2,500 years since they were uttered, It demonstrates that clearly if they are years, there is something not contiguous about those 77s. It's interesting that the 360-day year was introduced and seems to have been copied by the world in the days of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's, or his clever boys, were the first to divide the circle into 360 degrees based on their observations of 12 30-day months in the year. You know, of course, that there are a few more than that, but that set the 360-day circle into being, which, of course, is with us to this day. Now, the start point of the fulfillment of that prophecy is mentioned in verse 25. Know and understand this: from the issuing of the decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the King will be 7 sevens and 62 sevens. Clearly a total of 69 sevens. It will be rebuilt in difficult times. The start point was another 90 plus years in coming. And the start point is clearly in the time of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 2 says this. There had been efforts, of course. There had been a second temple built, but there was trouble all the way as enemies impeded the progress of the people who were able to return to the land. Nehemiah chapter 2 says, during the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was set before him, I, Nehemiah, took the wine and gave it to the king. I'd never been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, why are you sad when you aren't sick? This is nothing but sadness of heart. And the concern of Nehemiah was, as the butler to the king, that his face would have hidden an intention to harm the king. And he says, I was overwhelmed with fear and replied to the king, may the king live forever. Why should I not be sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire? Then the king asked me, what is your request? So I prayed to the God of heaven and answered the king, if it pleases the king and if your servant has found favor with you, send me to Judah and to the city where my ancestors are buried, so that I may rebuild it. How long will your journey take, and when will you return? So I gave him a definite time, and it pleased the king. And from then on, authority was given to do those things that Daniel had prophesied nearly 100 years before, to rebuild Jerusalem. Now, starting at BC 445, in the month Nisan, when this was given, Daniel said that there would be a period of 69 sevens. Modeled on the 70 years of Jeremiah's prophecy, if you work that through with 360 day years, you have this mathematical formula that says 7 plus 62 in brackets times 7 times 360, which gives you a period of 173,880 days. And if you want to turn that into 365 day years, you will come back from 483 years to 476. And if you work that through to the coming to the day when the Lord Jesus rode from the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, and the people laid down their garments and proclaimed him, Hosanna, blessed is he that comes in the name of the King, you will come to a date in AD 30 or 31. And apparently it is certified by astronomical calculations at the British Observatory that it is the very date that Jesus rode into Jerusalem. I find that an amazing testimony on which we can build. What it does, of course, is establish that 69 sevens are 69 biblical years. It establishes that we are dealing with literal time periods. And the implication is that although after those 69 years, Messiah the Prince came and proclaimed himself king, it also establishes that after the period and then the coming of the 70th seven, the 70th seven is as literal as the 69 sevens in its outworking. And it also applies to your people. And we're therefore looking for the establishment of a temple in Jerusalem for the outworking of that 70th seven. Now, as to the truth of that, we consider the words of the Lord Jesus when he said, I guess I should read the last verse of Daniel chapter 9, because this is where the 70th seven comes in. The king, or the Antichrist, or the little horn that will arise, will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 7, a 7-year period. In the midst of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and offering, which has clearly been re-established in the new temple, which we've yet to see built in Jerusalem. And so, having determined a contract or a covenant, there is a change of mind, and he will put a stop to sacrifice and offering. So all that has been established that has not been practiced since AD 70 is to be re-established by the Jewish people. And then he says, and the abomination of desolation will be on a wing in the temple until the decreed destruction is poured out on the desolator. So this ruler, this power that establishes these things in the midst of the 7-year period puts a stop to what has been allowed. And the abomination of desolation will be set up. Now the Lord Jesus tells us of these things in his Olivet prophecy, speaking of this end time period. He says, so when you see the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. A man on the housetop must not come down to get things out of his house. So you see what's being said, brothers and sisters, that when that event happens in the temple, plain for those in Jerusalem clearly to see, it's the signal to all in Judea to flee the city and run for the mountains. So just prior to his return, in fact, one could say 3.5 years prior to his return, because this is in the midst of this seven, those events are to happen. And this ruler, who no longer allows the Jewish people to celebrate the keeping of their Torah and their sacrifices, will be supplanted by this Antichrist power himself, who will proclaim that he himself is God. And the Lord Jesus clearly wants his readers to understand. So, concerning this 70th seven, what I want to simply say without going into any detail, because we haven't got time now anyway, if Daniel 9 verse 27 is the email, then the book of Revelation is the attachment with all the detail. And when we read in Revelation, particularly from chapter 6 right through to chapter 19, we have the opening of the seven seals, the blowing of the seven trumpets, the pouring out of the seven bowls on Israel and the world. Israel in particular become the sufferers of this, in this, particularly this last 3.5 year period. Daniel in his last chapter said, at that time Michael, the great prince who stands watch over your people, will rise up. There will be a time of distress such as has never occurred since nations came into being until that time. But at that time, all your people, again, the Jewish people, clearly the remnant, who are there at that time, who are found written in the book, will escape. Many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to eternal life, some to shame and eternal contempt. But you, Daniel, keep these words secret and seal the book until the time of the end. Many will roam about, knowledge will increase. Then I, Daniel, looked, and two others were standing there, one on the bank of the river and one on this bank of the river, one on the other. One said to the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river, "How long until the end of these extraordinary things?" Then I heard the man dressed in linen who was above the waters of the river. He raised both his hands toward heaven and swore by him who lives eternally that it would be for a time, times, and half a time. 3.5 times. When the power or the will of the holy people is shattered, all these things will be completed. And so we can see the reason for the particular fulfillment amongst the Jewish people. God is true indeed to his covenants that he made to Abraham. Now, those time periods in Daniel converge in Revelation, where the same time periods are spelled out. Chapter 11, verse 3 of Revelation speaks of the trampling of the city by Gentile oppressors for 42 months. Of the empowerment of the two witnesses for 1,260 days. Chapter 12, verse 6 speaks of Israel's flight into the wilderness for 1,260 days. Chapter 12, verse 14, of where the escapees are fed for a time, times, and half a time. Chapter 13, verse 5, of the beast's rule and blasphemous posing as God, 42 months before being destroyed by the Lord. The events of Revelation especially have to do with the sufferings of Israel and those in the land. Of course, they are felt throughout the world. Now, I wanted to reflect over and above those Old Testament prophecies. We have the writings of the New Testament apostles and prophets. And just this week, as we've read the letters to the Galatians and the Ephesians in particular, I'd just like to draw attention to one or two statements of the Apostle Paul. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "You've heard about my former way of life in Judaism. I persecuted God's church to an extreme degree, and I tried to destroy it." Verse 15, "But when God, who from my mother's womb set me apart and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I could preach him among the Gentiles." And then in Ephesians chapter 3, we read verse 2. You have heard, haven't you, about the administration of God's grace that he gave to me for you. The mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've previously written. By reading this, you are able to understand my insight about the mystery of the Messiah. This was not made known to people in other generations, particularly Old Testament times, as it is now revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. The Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the joint body, partners of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. And then we have similar language in the first letter to the Thessalonians and chapter 4. I'm looking at verse 14. Since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep through Jesus. As Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead, so that is to be the pattern, as we well know, of what will happen to the believer. We say this to you by a word from the Lord. You see, again, the Apostle Paul is made privy to revelation, to words from the Lord. And this he explains. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Death isn't death, it's a falling asleep and a rising. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive will be caught up together with them in the clouds to a meeting of the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. And I've come to take that as literal scripture. Therefore, he finishes, encourage one another with these words. At the beginning of the letter, in chapter 1 and verse 10, the apostle wrote to those who were in Thessalonica, you've turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the coming wrath. And there's the intimation, more than intimation, that by God's grace, we're going to be rescued out of a world that suffers the outpouring of seals, trumpets, and bowls, to not have to go through those terrible events that we can barely begin to imagine. In chapter 5 of Thessalonians, the apostle goes on about the times and seasons. Brothers and sisters, you do not need anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And as you look at the scriptures relating to the day of the Lord, it is this 7-year period that is yet to come. When they say peace and security, then sudden destruction comes, like labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the dark, so that this day would overtake you like a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night or of darkness. So then we must not sleep like the rest, but we must stay awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk, are drunk at night. But since we are of the light, the day, the light, we must be sober and put the armour of faith and love on our chests and a helmet of hope, a salvation of our hope. For God did not appoint us to the wrath, but to obtain deliverance through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we're awake or asleep, we will come to life together with him. Therefore, a repeat of at the end of chapter 4, comfort one another and build each other up as you are already doing. And then in chapter 2 of the second letter, he says, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him, our being collected together to him, as we read in chapter 4, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to be easily upset in mind or troubled, either by a spirit or by a message or by a letter as if from us, alleging that the day of the Lord has come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. He opposes and exalts himself above every so-called god or object of worship, so that he sits in God's sanctuary, publishing that he himself is God. And so you see how that letter to the Thessalonians is linked with the Daniel prophecy. One thing more I wanted to say is that if the deliverance from the Lord comes at the end of the 7 years, we would know the day and hour when the Lord was coming, because the signing of that covenant marks the beginning of the 7 years. The exodus of the Jewish people to the wilderness comes in the middle of it, establishing that you've got that right. And so you know exactly when the Lord is coming, which goes right against the words of the Lord Jesus, that no man knows, and he repeats it, the day or the hour. So for me, where I'm at now, I'm persuaded that we're going to be rescued by God's grace from the wrath to come and taken into a cloud where we are not having to go through the terrible time that is coming upon the earth. And to be with the Lord and return with him when his feet come back to the Mount of Olives.